Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, man, we are packed today. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Next hour, Aqib Talib on those Super Bowl Patriot teams, Denver teams, Ram teams. Andrew Whitworth stops by today, one of the best guys and pro bowlers, left tackles in the NFL. Reggie Bush stops by. College football's got its playoff unveiled tonight. That's going to be fantastic. And Joy Taylor is joining me 1 hour from now, by the way. I unveil my Herd hierarchy. We have so many quality teams in the NFL. There are excellent teams, not even in the top 10. Joy's joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I think we are, what do people expect from the Dallas Cowboys? Let me ask you this. They just won 37-18 on the road, and Dak Prescott threw for 3 touchdowns. And I'm watching Cowboy fans complain last night, and I'm watching Twitter, and people are all worked up. And okay, they're not San Francisco. All right, who is, except the 49ers? They didn't surrender a touchdown to the Saints. I think the Saints are probably the second-best team in the league. Never lost with Teddy Bridgewater. May not lose again with Drew Brees. What do you want? I don't understand it. This weekend, I watched New England get rolled and Green Bay get smoked. This year, I've seen Philly, a team I like a lot, get destroyed 2 or 3 times. Baltimore got ambushed at home by Freddie Kitchens in Cleveland. Kansas City was mauled at home with Patrick Mahomes against the Colts. Carolina, not competitive on the road against San Francisco. Rams, a couple of ugly losses. These are teams I like. What do you want from Dallas? What do you want? This reminds me of air travel in America. I never understand why we treat airline employees so bad. I can get on a flight in Los Angeles. I can fly to New York in 5 hours. I can text Wi-Fi. I get free movies I'd have to pay and go to a theater. I get cocktails. The Delta employees are nice. We've never bumped into another plane in the sky or hit a mountain. I don't understand why everybody's complaining. How long would it take in a train? How many days would it take in a car? 5 hours. I can wake up in L.A. and be staring at a beautiful Empire State Building in New York. 5 hours later. All people do is complain about air travel. I get free movie. What do you want, a 5-star meal? We're 33,000 feet in the air. You're right up there with the moon. I get everything I want. It's the same with the Cowboys. Dak Prescott, what do you want? They've had one ugly loss, Jets. And then they rebounded by destroying Philadelphia the next week. Once again, they're good. They're a very good football team. Excellent football team. 37-18 on the road. I'm looking at these stats. They're first in total offense. They're second in third down defense and first in third down offense. What do you want? We've got a salary cap and free agency. Who's great in this league? San Francisco? San Francisco struggled against Arizona, struggled against Mason Rudolph. They struggled against Washington. They struggled against Tampa. And that's the dominant team? And I don't know what you want with Dak Prescott, but who would the Cowboys be a big underdog today in the NFL? At San Francisco and at New England. Probably a touchdown underdog. Really? That's not good enough for you? I mean, let's go to my trusted Super Bowl bubble. And there's always 8 teams that I think can win the Super Bowl. Right now it's New England, Baltimore, San Francisco, Kansas City when they get Mahomes, Saints, Dallas, Green Bay, and Houston. And then I think Minnesota, Seattle, Philly, Rams, Carolina, they're dangerous. Dallas is in my Super Bowl bubble. Once again, they're winning a lot. They're 5-3 in the excellent NFC. This is not the AFC, where there's like gimme wins over Miami and gimme wins over the Jets. And there's a lot of gimme wins in the AFC. You know, Miami's tanking. Cincinnati's tanking. This is the NFC. I mean, we think Tampa's bad. Go ask Seattle how bad they are. Go ask Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson how lousy Tampa is. They have all sorts of Pro Bowlers on offense. Dak's 5-3. Dak's on pace to go 10-6 in the NFC, win their division. Air travel in the Cowboys. I can't figure out what you want. Dallas is 37-19 with Dak. Two division titles and a playoff win. That's in the same division with Russell Wilson, same division with Pete Carroll and Aaron Rodgers and Carson Wentz and, you know, all these Pro Bowl quarterbacks, Sean McVay and all, Kyle Shanahan, all these genius coaches. I think Dallas is a good football team. I think they won big last night. I think they'll win a lot of games. I think they'll finish. I predicted 9-7. That's what it feels like to me. Week 17, they'll be vying for a playoff spot in a loaded NFC. And I'm watching last night. Well, now, I have one major concern with Dallas, and I'll address that after the break. But let me go to something else. You know, through the years, despite what you read on Twitter, I do like Aaron Rodgers. I think he can be condescending. I've seen family members and teammates multiple call him out. So I'm not the only person that thinks that. He's got brothers, family, teammates. He can rub the wrong way. He can be a little arrogant. He can be a little condescending. But I think he's great. And right now, I'd probably put him second, third in the MVP race. First ballot Hall of Famer. I've always said I like Aaron more than Brett Favre. I think he's more of a thinking man's quarterback. A little less risky. I like Aaron over Favre. And I think that's probably a minority opinion in America. So for all those who think I don't like Aaron Rodgers, it's true. I think he can be a little passive aggressive for my taste. I think he's thin-skinned like Kevin Durant, and he just doesn't like being criticized. And for 10 years, nobody criticized him except me. And now there's been other people to jump on board. But I'll tell you the Aaron Rodgers I like, not just that he throws great and he's a wizard and all that stuff. When he's honest, and he's honest tactfully. I mean, there's ways to be honest with your wife or your husband, but you have to be tactful. And he was very tactful and brutally honest. He didn't name names. He didn't get personal. Talking about the Packers' atrocious performance in Los Angeles against the Chargers on Sunday.
We got to be, you know, honest with our, you know, our routine and decisions we made the last 48 hours and make sure that our head's in the right place the next time we come on a big road trip.
You don't have to squint to see what he's saying. The Packers have young receivers, young running backs, and a young defense. And they came out early Friday, and they partied too much. Now, Aaron Rodgers has a house in Los Angeles. It's no big deal. But for a lot of those Packers, 85%, they've never been to L.A. And there's two cities in America that are a major distraction for pro athletes, Miami and L.A. Remember a couple years ago, the Steelers went to Miami, a very good Steelers team, went down, lost 30-15 to an average Miami team, and Steeler players were barfing on the field. They had too much rum the night before. There are bettors in Major League Baseball that bet baseball games. It's called the Miami Advantage. You look at teams, young teams, third game in a three-game series in Miami after they win the second game, party, third game, nobody shows up. Everybody's got a hangover. Listen, the Green Bay Packers, a very young team with a young coach and young receivers and young backs and young defensive players, came to Los Angeles and partied hard. And Aaron Rodgers called them out. He basically said, don't have to squint to see it. Run the bite again. He's basically telling you the 2 days we were in Los Angeles, we got to do a better job being grown-ups.
We got to be, you know, honest with our, you know, our routine and decisions we made the last 48 hours and make sure that our head's in the right place the next time we come on a big road trip.
That is as honest and as forthright as you can be. He didn't name names, never got personal. He just said, 48 hours, we screwed off. We didn't take it seriously. The more you examine those quotes, the more I appreciate Aaron Rodgers. I saw Pittsburgh do it in Miami. I've seen baseball teams. The Houston Rockets went to Miami this weekend, and they trailed the Miami Heat 54-17. Too much vodka, too much rum.
South Beach flu.
South Beach flu. And this was the L.A. flu. And Aaron called him out, and he called him out the right way. Big, broad message for the coach to hear, the players to hear, the GM to hear, the city to hear, the media to hear, but he did it with class. Didn't point any fingers, just a big, broad message. Time to grow up. If we want to beat the Saints, we want to beat the Ravens, we want to beat the Patriots, because I saw Baltimore last year with Lamar Jackson come out to L.A., and it was a business trip. They crushed the Chargers. I was there. That was a business trip. This was party time for the Packers, and they paid a price.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I watched Dallas win last night, and everybody complains, and I watch them, and I think they won 37-18 on the road. Dak, 3 touchdowns, had a bad pick. Welcome to the NFL. It's not college football, right? This is the way the NFL works. I just saw Green Bay and New England get rolled this weekend. Baltimore get rolled at home against Cleveland. You just don't know. That's why betting is hard. I can pick winners all weekend, but against the spread, good Lord, it's tough. And so there is one thing about Dallas that concerns me. If you and I were lawyers and I had twice as much time to prepare for the case as you, I'm not a very good lawyer if I can't beat you. If you and I are college students and you have twice as much time to prepare for the midterm as I do, you better get a better grade than me, or I'm a lot smarter than you. The Dallas Cowboys, once again off a bye, came out completely flat against a bad team. That's what worries me about Dallas. Jason Garrett off byes is 5-5. Last year off a bye, they got drilled by Tennessee, a pretty average team. This year off a bye, man, that was a bad first quarter. I watched Freddie Kitchens off a bye this year. 13 penalties. Two coaches this weekend came off a bye. John Harbaugh, who is 10-2 all time, came out firing, 17-0 lead over New England, only 4 penalties. Dallas came out of a bye sluggish, 10 penalties, bad start, kind of not quite sure what their identity was. When I looked at Harbaugh schematically confused with a young quarterback, Bill Belichick, and I watched Jason Garrett with Dak, who's now not really that young of a quarterback, I think it's not a Dak issue because Dak was fine in the second half. That's what worries me about Dallas. He's the lawyer that gets extra prep time, still doesn't make a difference. He's the kid studying twice as long for a midterm, and he still gets a C-plus to a B-minus. That's what worries me. I always look at college football coaches' bowl records. What are you when I give you a month to prepare? Lou Holtz, Barry Alvarez, Urban Meyer, Dabo Sweeney. The great coaches have great records off a bye. Extra time. I mean, go look at Andy Reid's record off a bye. Belichick, John Harbaugh, Sean Payton. All the coaches in the NFL, Pete Carroll, that you think are excellent schematic guys. I saw Kyle Shanahan off a bye this year. He went 31-3. I saw Harbaugh off a bye. And by the way, Kyle Shanahan off a bye against the Cleveland team, that game was over 4 minutes in. And you felt like New England Baltimore was over 6 minutes in, 8 minutes in. They'd taken total control. So that is what worries me about the Cowboys. Frank Reich this year, with Jacoby Brissett off a bye, beat Deshaun Watson in Houston and really outplayed him. So if you're going to complain about something, Dak is what he is. He's a good B quarterback. Jason Garrett, is it going to matter if he plays wins the division, gets a bye, playoff game at home? I don't feel like it helps him. He's a 500 coach off a bye. That worries me, and it's not going away. Now, Jerry talked this morning. Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys, talked this morning about what he thinks Dallas has to work on.
I'll assure you that every individual out there, certainly as a position group, they're going to be working on focus, 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 because everybody on this team knows that we've got a good team. And we've got a chance to really be right there competing with the very best as we get down the end of this thing. And a real good chance, but we won't have a chance if we continue to make these mistakes.
Yeah, Jason Garrett worries me. I don't think he's bad. I mean, he's solid. And if you look at the last four coaches left in football last year, it was Belichick, Sean Payton, Andy Reid, and Sean McVay. Those were the four coaches left last year in football. The four last coaches. All A coaches. One A plus, one A minus, but A coaches.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like. Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Seattle, for the first time ever, this Pete Carroll team's about offense, not defense. Russell Wilson has been my MVP. They lead the NFL in two-minute offense. Last 16 games, they're 13-3 without a great defense. I like that they added Jadeveon Clowney. I like that they added Josh Gordon. It gives them juice on both sides of the football. Pete Carroll in the draft is going to go out and have to improve the back end of this defense. I think that's what gets them eliminated. And they do get into a lot of close games. But if you give me an A-plus at coach and an A-plus at quarterback, the way Russell Wilson, my MVP, is playing, they make the list. They're 10.
Number 9.
Green Bay. There is now a way to beat Green Bay. That's why I'm dropping them to number 9. It's not about losing to the Chargers. Well, it kind of is. It's about losing to Philly and the Chargers the same way. Pound them. Go right after them. Don't run away with them. Run away from them. Run at them. They're 26th in total defense. They're 1-2 when they don't force a turnover. And it's not an intimidating defense. It's not a suffocating defense. It's opportunistic. It appears to be well coached. But there is now a script on Green Bay. Run it, pound him, be aggressive, and they don't want to be in the octagon. Green Bay at 9.
Number 8.
Houston Texans. Hate their secondary, but they're very good against the run. The problem is they force you to pass, and you can pass on them. But let's be honest. They got off to a bad start last year. They were 0-3. But do you know what they are since then? They're 17-5, and they generally, under Deshaun Watson, have been very good in November and December. They're third in total offense. Many of you did not see the game in London this week. That was a go-either-way game that they absolutely dominated. You know, listen, they don't have a GM. Their coach situationally can drive me nuts. But if you stop the run, they've done a nice job organizationally. Two now legitimate running backs, nice perimeter weapons. I've got Houston at 8.
Number 7.
Carolina. I really like them. I really do. I think they've got great personnel. This is a team that leads the NFL in sacks and yet has one of the lowest blitz percentages. They got good personnel. Once again, Ron Rivera loses a star quarterback, and they're well coached enough, like the Saints, to go, okay, we got a backup. Let's just make it happen. This is not a Cam issue. This is really fundamentally what I've always believed about Carolina, that they're not beholden to Cam Newton. There are times he holds them back. I like their receivers. McCaffrey's a monster. Greg Olsen's having a good year. Their offensive line is average to above average. And defensively, once again, they get to the quarterback without blitzing. I've got Carolina at 7.
Number 6.
Kansas City. Folks, they've played a tough schedule. They played Minnesota's defense. They played Green Bay, Indianapolis, Baltimore. Some of these games with a backup quarterback. And they're in first place. And they're getting Patrick Mahomes back. And they just got Chris Jones back. Did you see how well he played? Okay, now they're getting healthy. Now Patrick's coming back. Now Chris Jones is back. He's their best defensive player and their best offensive player. I think when you start looking at their schedule, they've lost a left tackle, their best defensive lineman, and a quarterback. And this team, in every game, that Minnesota win on Sunday, that was impressive with a guy that was coaching high school football last year, Matt Moore. I like Kansas City, and they're about to go on a roll.
Number 5.
New England. They're really good. But here's the issue, and it's not going away. They're not dynamic enough on offense. Tom Brady's last 6 games, think about this. 7 touchdowns, 5 picks, and 83 quarterback rating. There's nobody out there. They are totally dependent on Edelman and now Mohamed Sanu on third down. They have no over-the-top game. They're on a third-string left tackle and a backup center. They don't now have a dependable kicker. Their defense is really, really good. But at some point, you got to be able to get some cheap points. Does everything have to be an 11-play drive? They have to play perfect offensively. I mean, they really do. They just don't get any cheapies like Kansas City does. They don't get any freebie where Lamar Jackson's spinning out of a tackle and running for 50 yards. I have New England 5.
Number 4.
Dallas Cowboys. Again, I don't know what you want. I don't love their coach, and I think that limits them in the playoffs. But they're number 1 in offense, number 1 in third down offense. They're 4-0 against the NFC East. Michael Bennett, I thought last night, had 4 quarterback hits. That was a nice pickup. I like these teams that are willing to roll the dice and go out, and Michael Bennett may not be your favorite player. But again, last night, first game, exactly what I want from him. Am I worried that they came out flat off a bye? Yes, I'm always worried about them. Jason Garrett's 5-5 off byes, but I have Dallas at 4.
Number 3.
Baltimore. I think Baltimore's a lot like Dallas. They're not perfect, but I get a better coach. I really do. I think Baltimore reminds me a lot of Dallas. I get some really good individual players, but I just like them winning a division, getting a home playoff game off a bye. Their defense now is coming together. Now, we're paying a lot of attention to Lamar Jackson. And we should, but their defense now is coming together. It's 7th in total defense, 9th in scoring since week 5. They go get Marcus Peters. And again, when you're a well-coached team, you get better over the season. Young defensive players are getting better. And they also have an identity. Half this league doesn't have an identity. They are, we run the ball well, a lot, right at you. Baltimore at 3.
Number 2.
New Orleans Saints. Only loss this year is the game Drew Brees got hurt in. They're such a smart team. Only 6 turnovers all year. They don't get penalized much. They're excellent on third down. They're excellent situationally. I like their personnel. Now, there's the hole in their game. I wish they would have gone after Josh Gordon. They do not have much of a vertical passing game. They rely on Michael Thomas, and they cross their fingers for one big play a game from Teddy Ginn. But I have them at 2 because I like so much about their structure and roster.
Number 1.
San Francisco, and now they're about to have 3 straight home games. So with some of these ugly road games at Washington, at Pittsburgh, at Arizona, now they get Seattle, Arizona, Green Bay at home. They run the ball 56% of the time, which is even greater than Baltimore. And what I loved about San Francisco, we all know their D-line's great. But this was the first week that their D-line wasn't dominant and their running game no-showed. And they said, Jimmy G, we need you this week, bro. Step up, win the game. And he was great. That gives them another layer. I have them, San Francisco, at 1. By the way, I like Indy, I like Philly, and I like the Rams, and none of them made the list. So we got a pretty deep NFL. Those are 3 teams I like. I like Philly a lot. I like the Rams. I like Indianapolis, but I can't put them in. So we have a Seattle, Green Bay, Houston, Carolina, Kansas City, New England, Dallas, Baltimore, New Orleans, San Francisco. I don't have Minnesota, but I don't like them. I think they're total fool's gold.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe. If you like football, that's all I talk. Used to scout in the league. Now I talk about it for a living. The Dallas Cowboys, Monday Night Football. Is this team real? The AFC North. The big boys and the little boys have started to separate themselves. The Eagles, the Chiefs get a win. Jets in shambles. We speak it all. Even John Gruden. Again, 3 and Out Podcast with me, John Middlecoff.
I've been waiting for this all day. Aqib Talib. I remember watching him at Kansas. Then he went to Tampa, New England, Denver, Rams. First of all, it's an absolute pleasure to meet you. It's great to have you on. You've got a million stories. You've been around a long time. Now, the first thing is, you get traded from the Rams. You've been traded a couple of times. I've said this to Joy before. Mm-hmm. If I was traded for a sportscaster and a future sportscaster pick, I would be offended. It's the one thing that the idea that my value is you're less than this guy, you're more than that guy. When the Rams traded you, are you angry? Are you mad? Are you disappointed?
All right, first, look, Colin, look. When you get traded, someone don't want you, but at the same time, if you're a glass half full guy like me, someone do want you. At the very same time someone don't want you, someone do want you. So I just, you don't want me, he want me. That's who I want to go play for. I feel like I'll be very productive if I'm somewhere where I'm wanted, you know. So if you didn't want me, I don't even want to be there. But I look at it like it's part of our business. So I've been in the NFL 12 years, and guys get traded. I've seen hundreds of guys get traded. Great players get traded. So
Khalil Mack got traded.
Khalil Mack got traded. So I feel like if it was more in your business, and they was like, Colin, you're going to ESPN for, and you seen Stuart Scott been traded in his life, and you seen all these guys who's been traded before, it'd be part of your business. It'd be more natural to you. I don't think you would be as offended.
All right, that's fair enough. Mm-hmm. I get that. I want to talk about, you had Belichick, and then you had McVay. So you had thought of as sort of the NFL's greatest coach,
right,
and then the next great coach. Where were they the same? Let's start with that. Mm-hmm. Where are Sean and Bill the same?
Where are Sean and Bill the same? I say what jumps off the first thing I think about is their leadership, man. They great leaders. When those guys get in the front of a room, no one to be texting, no one to be doing this and talking and, hey, Joy. But I've been around head coaches where guys is, we got a team meeting and they laughing and guys like this and texting. Guys can't hold the attention of 60 grown men. That's what you have to be able to do. You have to be able to stand in front of the room and have the attention of 60 grown men and make those guys buy into what you're trying to make them buy into.
Okay, now where are they different? Where was that? And it's not a bad thing, but where are the differences?
It's not a lot of differences, Colin. I think they very similar as leaders, as head coaches. The difference is little things like Sean is super offensive-minded. You know what I'm saying? He knows the defense, but when we go in there in the morning, he's focused on getting the offense right for the week. Whereas in Bill is defensive-minded. He's focused on getting the defense right for the week. So, you know, you'll see Bill in a lot more defensive meetings, talking to a lot more defensive guys, and Sean to be just the opposite. He's more on the offensive side of football.
By the way, Bill bark, or was Bill a teacher, ever bark at you, or did he sit you down and go, Keith, this is what I want you to do?
The most I heard Bill yell is, like, on the sideline at a game, when you, the stuff that you see on TV, like, man, they're doing this, and we have to set the edges, and, you know, just, that's the most he yell. I don't really see him yell at guys in practice. If you screwing up in practice, he'll simply tell you, get him out of there, take off. Go get you a lap or something, get your mind right. Bill don't do too much hollering, man. He don't do too much yelling at guys.
You've played against great quarterbacks. You've played with great quarterbacks. So let's talk about, let's go back to, you come into the league, mm-hmm. you're an All-American at Kansas. Now, that happens in basketball all the time. It doesn't happen in football much.
I felt like a basketball player at Kansas. I got a lot of love, Colin. Bunch of love.
So you come to Tampa. So now you got Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
So you were a guy in college. People didn't want any part of you. They didn't even throw to your side. Tell me how great Drew Brees is.
Drew Brees, Colin. All right, so like you said, I come from high school, no touchdowns. College, I made a few touchdowns scored on me. Barely deep balls. So I'm playing a nickel, starting at nickel, coming in the game, playing outside. Rondé Barber moves to the inside and play the nickel. So it's our first game. I think maybe first game or second game or something.
NFL career.
NFL career. Maybe our second game. Maybe, I don't know, Colin. I've been in the league 12 years.
Yeah, I know.
So I think we're in cover three or something like that. And Drew Brees, boom, he lets a 7 route go. And I'm looking at it like, I just know Drew Brees didn't throw me this. And it just stayed in the air and it stayed in the air and barely missed my fingers. I jumped in. Whew. Money ball. So I think Devery Henderson, I want to say.
Touchdown?
Touchdown. The dome went crazy. It was my welcome to the NFL moment. Welcome to one of the most accurate passers in NFL history. He definitely welcomed me to the NFL with that 7-route touchdown.
Now, most quarterbacks you have faced are not Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the quarterbacks you've faced this year.
Okay.
All right. A guy I've been critical of. Baker Mayfield.
I think he's growing. He's growing in the league. I think, my honest opinion, I think the game is moving fast to him. You know, it's you young. I was a young cornerback in the league before. The game moves fast all the way until year 6 or 7.
Really?
Honestly. That's when you really could take a breath and be like, okay, this is really, really slowing down to me now. So I can't imagine playing quarterback. And
He looked overwhelmed when you played him.
He got Aaron Donald. We got a pretty good defense. I ain't gonna lie. We got a pretty good defense, a great pass rush. So he had guys in his face. And I just think as he mature in the NFL, he'll be able to go through his reads more. He's more of a one read guy. He's gonna read right now and start scrambling. And he even could work on the scrambling. The scrambling is always to the right. We had it in our game plan. He's gonna scramble to the right. He's gonna look at one receiver and he's gonna scramble to the right. So our rush plan was was gauged for somebody to scramble to the right. So when we looping guys, to our left so they can meet him when he scrambles to the right type thing. So
we said, by the way, we said that on this show. We kept saying, if you ever notice he scrambles to one side.
Oh, he scrambles straight to the right. You look at our game, it had to be at least about 20 times, scramble to the right.
Yeah.
And
okay, now let's talk about quarterbacks you've played with. Brady's not the biggest, the strongest, but you faced him in practice. You saw his leadership. What jumped off the page? Obviously, you know, he's got a great coach, but were there things that you were like watching him and just thinking he's different?
Right. I could just remember my routine being in town, being in New England and just walking in the building. Tom is always there. I mean, you don't want to come in and say he's first guy in, first guy out. That's everyone says that, but it's honestly true with Tom. And I just think his flow of the day never changed. It was always positive. You always seen positive. He'd come over there and say a little joke. It was the same time in the building every day. And his routine was just just like a coach's routine. It never changed. It never stopped. He always went and did the same warm-up. It was that routine, man, that just breeds confidence. So when you just do that routine, you get in the game, and it's like you did it already. You know, so
that's a great point.
It's like you already played this game.
You said something very interesting Sunday on our show. I really liked it. You said we got to give these young quarterbacks time.
Right.
That you said the fans don't get continuity. Go into that.
They don't. I mean, it's continuity. It's like being a tech worker, and your job is to explain if somebody got a problem with the software. I'm the guy who they come to and I correct them, right?
Right.
So, boom, I come to this job, and now my teacher is teaching me how to work this software. All right, so I'm learning. Boom, they send me over to the next tech company. So now I'm learning how to work a new software. And guys come to me, Joy, you come to me. I'm like, okay, I kind of know, but I kind of just start learning this software. So then they fire everybody else, and then a new guy comes into my building, and he got a new software, so now I'm learning the new software that I got to put out and teach everybody. Whereas if I come to this job, my one teacher is teaching me this software.
4 years,
five years straight. By year six, they're going to be ready to fire this guy, and they're going to be ready for me to be the teacher. You know, I just got more repetitions in
the same
software, and I'm going to be better. That's natural. I'm going to be better at it. I'll be better at sitting here talking in this mic if I did it every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it's just those repetitions doing the same thing over and over and over again. You're going to be more comfortable in it. You're going to be better at it. It's a fact.
Aqib Talib joining us. A lot of people have been critical of Jared Goff. Again, be as honest as you can. You liked him.
I love Jared Goff, honestly.
What do you see at practice?
Money balls. I like John Elway highlights in practice. It's like deep balls, money balls, double moves. Money ball. It's like he got one of the best deep balls. Accurate, best deep balls that I've seen in a long time. And then he's smart. He's one of those guys who's in one of those unique situations where he got his tech teacher. It's the owner of the company, and he's not going nowhere, right? So, you know what I'm saying? He's going to be able to learn that system and master that system. So, I remember in practice one time, I had a nice vet day. I don't have to practice today. Nice vet day. So Sean wanted to put me to work. He said, we're doing 2 minutes today, and you calling the 2 minute. All right. I said, all right, I got it. And Jared, you calling it for the offense. So it was me versus Jared. We was the coordinators. I won. Just get that out the way. They didn't score. My defense won. But Jared just looked so comfortable. It was like I didn't know if Sean was calling the plays or if Jared was calling the plays because it was the same routine and the same reps that Sean wanted to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that just goes to show me that he's growing super, super comfortable in this offense. And criticize him all you want, man. Jared's going to be one of the elite guys for a long time in this league.
Aqib Talib. All right, couple of quick questions. Toughest receiver. It's funny. I was asking Charles Woodson about this one time. Mm-hmm. I said, who's the toughest receiver that I would never guess? He goes, I hated guarding Ed McCaffrey.
Yeah.
He said he's angles, he had long speed, and you just his body. Has there ever been a receiver in this league that gives you trouble?
Just that I hate guarding?
Right.
Julian Edelman, he cuts off his inside foot. He'll go this way, and it's supposed to be like a left foot stick and go this way, but he'll right foot stick. It's crazy. His feet is so weird. he changed directions, and then what's put the icing on the cake, he got Tom Brady, and they, like, joined at the hip or something, joined at the head. They, like, he knows when to throw him the ball. He knows when to wait a little bit longer and let him get to the second window. And it's just weird. It's weird. He run his routes. He's not the fastest guy.
No.
He's not the quickest guy. But he's super strong. You won't have to tackle him once he catch it. And just knowing which way he's going to break is super weird.
Okay, is there a great receiver that you felt you matched up well with, a Julio Jones type that you really felt, listen, I can shut him down as well as anybody?
Well, I say the toughest cover, who I probably was super successful against was probably Calvin Johnson. I followed Calvin Johnson 2 games, and he probably was the best receiver that I guarded. I mean, I spent numerous hours trying to watch him and get prepared for those games. But I think I was pretty successful, probably 70 yards.
Big, big receiver. You get under him a little bit?
He more jump balls. I never worried about jump balls. I'm 6'1". I could jump. I never worried about the jump deep balls. Wait, he did jump over me one time and score a touchdown for like a quick 4-yard touchdown.
But that's fine.
I jumped my highest, Colin, and I couldn't do nothing with it.
That's okay. He's 6'7". He's got a little edge.
But I think his quickness, his speed, and his ball skills, it put him over everybody.
Aqib Talib, been an absolute pleasure. I was waiting for this all day. Okay, finally. So Packers come in to Los Angeles, and Aaron Rodgers says, "We got here on Friday. We got to be in a little better mindset." What he's insinuating is
La La Land got him.
A lot of young guys went to Nobu, and whatever they did. And you know the NFL circuit. Have you ever been in a team or faced a team that you thought L.A. ate them up or Miami ate them up? Or, by the way, Tampa's a party city.
Mm-hmm.
You ever on one of those teams?
I've definitely been part of a team where we land in Miami and we go. So, you know, your result on Sunday, you're not thinking about your result on Sunday when you land in Miami at 2:30 p.m.
Friday?
Friday, 2:30 p.m. You in Miami. So you're like, if I was in my planned city, I might go out and have dinner and have a drink or two. So why not in Miami? So, drink's turned to 6, and you're a little tired on Saturday, and that kind of carry over to Sunday. So I've definitely been a part of those teams, and I've seen teams come to places like even Denver. You know what I'm saying? Recreational stuff in Denver, guys come, and they'd be a little bit tired. You know, they'd be a little bit tired in the game. I don't know if it's the altitude or it's the recreational, but, you know, it's – some cities, when you go, you just got to experience what they're known for.
New Orleans.
You just got to experience what they're known for. You're going to go out and eat. You may eat. It might not even be alcohol. You can go out and eat a greasy bowl of gumbo and just don't feel right on Sunday because you don't usually do that. You know what I'm saying?
I totally know.
So it's real part of our league. And, you know, coaches even do it. Sometimes coaches, like, we play in Miami, we play in L.A., we traveling on Saturday. We get there early Saturday morning and try to get in tune. It's like some coaches don't travel 2 days to those states just for that reason.
Good stuff. Good stories, man.
Thank you, Kyle.
Okay, you're busy all the time. If you're ever around, there's Dave. He's our guest booker. I got your number. I told you when you gave me your number, I don't bother guys, but I loved having you.
Appreciate it, Kyle.
Appreciate your honesty.
Thank you.
And your greatness. Aqib Talib.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, so college football tonight has its big playoff, they're going to unveil their seeding tonight, their brackets. To me, this is the easiest ever. And here's the order I'd put him in. LSU is undefeated, has the most quality wins, and was willing to schedule Texas out of conference and beat them handily. Not saying they're the best team. I'm saying, given what I have seen this year in college football, I would put them number one. Ohio State's number two. Undefeated, like LSU, crushed a very solid opponent, Wisconsin, but they had a weaker out-of-conference schedule. They didn't get on the phone and call a Texas. That is the price you pay. The off-season phone call. Ohio State's 2. Alabama is 3. Now, Alabama's schedule's been pathetic, but they have crushed who they have played. Now, they did go and call Duke, a basketball school, up to schedule a game, but that didn't impress me, and the ASC is a mess. And finally, Penn State. much like Alabama, I don't love your out-of-conference schedule. You have a marginal win over Pitt. Bama's got a marginal win over, you know, Texas A&M. What does that mean? But unlike Bama, you're winning close. You beat Michigan close. You beat Iowa close. So to me, this is the easiest one ever. LSU, Ohio State, Bama 3rd, Penn State 4. I would have Clemson 5. I think the ACC is the weakest of the Big 5 conferences. And you get on the phone and call up Wofford. You know, I just can't. You put that on your schedule, I'm not interested. So now the good news is this will all get cleared out. Bama and LSU play this weekend. Penn State, Ohio State play in a couple weekends. So Clemson will end up being in there. And we always get all hyped up about this, but you know and I know. In 4 or 5 weeks, all the big games are coming, and they'll probably be one, maybe two undefeated teams. I'm not even sure Alabama's going to be undefeated. Clemson, because of their conference, will be undefeated.